Remember when you were a kid and you used to have this urge to be invisible? And to have x-ray eyes, see through anything, go anywhere. I remember one time I sent in a dime. The back of this magazine, this real smudgy magazine, says, amaze and mystify your friend to have x-ray eyes, x-ray vision, see through walls. And I figured out all kinds of great stuff I was going to see, you know. Didn't work out. Yeah. And then the desire, you know, when you're a kid, to fly. Just be able to flap your arms and take off. Read about stuff like the magic carpet. Flying carpet. Just be able to drift and fly and go through the night. Nobody sees you. Nobody knows where you're going. And nobody can see you. Wouldn't it be great to be invisible? But to be able to fly, just drift over everybody and look down on them all. Just sail anyplace. There's nobody alive who hasn't had that vague urge. More than vague with some people. Gets to be a hang-up. Be able to fly. Stand on that beach. Just let your kite climb into the air. If you could only just get your arms moving fast enough, maybe you could actually take off. Nothing like flying.
I want you to squint your eyes and look very carefully because my kite is climbing into the clouds. When you fly a kite, you should keep your mouth shut, too. Kite flying is a solitary, contemplative thing. Now watch me maneuver her against that big white cloud. You got to be very careful because if you break your line, you're going to lose it. See, I'm moving it against that cloud, so you can get a good shot of the kite against that big white fluffy cloud. It's almost motionless. That's a true flying machine. You know, all aircraft are a variation of the principles that you see in that kite. And one of the very first airplanes was based on all kinds of experiments that the Wright brothers made on a beach just like this, flying a whole series of box kites to get the proper area of wing and the proper area of string. Now, if you watch this kite carefully, you'll see that it's absolutely motionless now. I want you to just look at the kite for a second. That means it's hunting and has found a steady wind, and it's riding that wind with absolutely no spillage. Just laying on that wind, it's as stable up there as if you were standing on your living room floor, just solid. When I was a kid, you know, it's funny how many people tend to go for the gimmicky kites, you know, the big plastic Batman kites and that rarely fly very well. They're really just toys. But this kite is a genuine flying machine. So the next time you look for kites, look for a good box kite. When I was a kid, we all built model airplanes, and there was one of the kids got the box kite urge, and we began to build tiny box kites. We used to compete with one another to see who could build the smallest box kite until finally we worked it down to the point where we had a tiny box kite, no bigger than 3 inches. Made out of balsa wood and Japanese rice paper, and we'd fly them on very thin thread, In fact, thinner than the kind of thread that you use for regular sewing. And we'd get them 30 and 40 feet up just standing at a, waiting for a bus or something. You'd let your kite out. And, you know, it's funny. Once you tasted kite flying, you just don't ever quit. It's just, you get insatiable. And every time I go out, even today, I when I see a good wind and I see the sun up there, I always feel that you should see a kite climbing into the air, climbing next to the clouds. I believe a kite is every bit as natural in the air as a bird is. Look at that thing up there. Isn't that beautiful? Against that white cloud now. My dad used to fly kites. I guess kite flying is it's hard to describe it. It's a thing that I think people, it's almost a hereditary thing. And I remember one time my dad building a 7-foot kite in the basement. He built a 7-foot kite, and he covered it with old editorial pages of the Chicago Tribune. And it was covered with a thin shellac. It was a fantastic kite. And on a spring day, it was in late June when the wind was coming in off the lake, on a Sunday, he took the kite out to the vacant lot out back of our house. And he had a tremendous reel of string. And he started to let the kite out. And his kite was at about the altitude of mine right now. And he was running like mad through the vacant lots trying to get it up. And he finally got the 7-foot kite up. There were 20,000 kids out there watching him. And, of course, all the old men and the blue-haired ladies were looking out of the apartment windows, you know, saying, look at that nut out there. And the kite started to climb. He got it up about 1,000 feet. And, you know, I think this is what finally broke the old man's spirit. You know, every man, there's a point in a man's life when he passes a delicate milestone, when he believes that everything groovy is going to happen to him. Up to that point, he passes that milestone, and then he knows better. From that time, there's a sad look in the eye. I think it happened that afternoon. The old man got the kite up about 1,000 feet. He's running like a road runner through vacant lots, up and down alleys, trying to keep the damn thing up. And it started to climb. It was about 1,000 feet up there. The kids are cheering when all of a sudden, the string, somewhere along the line, my mother had cut the string to wrap a Christmas package or something, and off it went. And he stood there with the reel in his hand, and you could see that kite drifting off, and the string was heavy enough to keep it up in the air. It gave it balance, and that kite just took off, and that was the last thing we saw of it going out over the lake. The old man worked 8 months on it. He come back in the house and he drank 2 quarts of bourbon. Never built another kite. My mother kept looking at him, you know. She had all these aluminum rheostats in her hair and stuff. She says, what's the matter? It was only a kite. Isn't that beautiful? Look at it. All he kept saying was, you don't understand. Well, anybody who's ever flown a kite understands. I mean, really flown a kite. You know, there's a difference between playing with a kite and flying one. Look at that. Isn't that a beautiful kite? You know, when you see a kite, at least when I see a kite, sometimes I wish I was a kite. Look at that.
is. All ready to jump into the air. Pre-flight check. Check the fuel sumps for condensation, water, and gas. At high octane, aviation fuel has got a great smell. Aileron hinges. Visual check. Look at that little air coop. It's a nasty crosswind today. Nothing like a little grass strip airport. Sunday afternoon. Combing engine, 108 horsepower. Check the prop for nicks, chips. Look at the nose wheel for any problems. Slide that canopy back.
Here I am, sitting in my own airplane, ready to go. Fly any place I want to fly. Any place there's an airport, that's where I can go. Just like a bird. You know, this is one of the great things about living in the 20th century. I mean, it's physical freedom. You can really do these things. Well, my old man would flip to see me sitting in the cockpit of my own airplane. My own airplane. And I can fly it. Oh, he used to love on a Sunday afternoon to drive out. You know, he'd come home Saturday night. He's been working all day. Goes out for a couple of bottles of beer and does a little bowling. Sunday morning, it's 10 o'clock. He gets up, looks in the mirror. Unshaven. Sunday papers all over the floor. My mother's got her hair up in curlers. Kids got that Sunday morning unconsciousness about them, you know. Sits down at breakfast table and says, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Okay, get out of the house. What do you say? My mother'd say, yeah. She was always a little worried when he said that. Never knew where he might want to go. Let's go out to the airport. Of course, instantly, my kid brother and I, oh, man. And here's an idea of a great spring morning Sunday was to drive to the local airport with a great big basket full of tuna fish salad sandwiches, about 5-6 packs of Pabst Blue Ribbon, and about 6 or 7 bottles of knee-high orange for the kids. And we would park in the grass and just watch the airplanes go up.
That's all we did, just watch airplanes. They taxi down the runway and they take off. The old man, it look. Oh, man. And they go roaring overhead. And, you know, even to this day, every pilot knows that every airport is ringed by people who just sit on a Sunday with the kids and watch the airplanes. And, you know, when you come out to a little grass strip airport like this, look at that guy go. You know, no pilot can resist watching a plane take off when he hears that sound. He just got to look. It's a terrible compulsion. But when you come out to one of these grass strip airports, one of these small airports, you see guys that own their own airplane, even when they're not flying. They come out and just sit by their plane. There's one over there now. Pick him up. There he is. Look at him. He owns that little air coupe over there. It was built in 1946. It's a classic. Just sits by it. Oh, the old man. I'll never forget the day the old man did one of his great adventures of his life, and it involved an airplane. You know, there's a time when you got to do something. There's a time for sitting and a time for action. And one Sunday, we're out watching the airplanes. Nobody in our family had ever been in an airplane. Airplanes were just things that other people went in. You'd see pictures once in a while of a movie star getting in a plane. You know, it says, star in planes for coast. That's what airplanes were. You'd see them way up there and flying overhead. And one Sunday, we're sitting out at the airport in the grass. The old man's got his straw hat on, you know, he's really on top of it. And there's a sign suddenly that appeared one Sunday, way down at the end of the airport, and it said, scenic rides, $3, 5 minutes, take a flight in an airplane, fly, great big exclamation point. Well, now, $3 was a lot of money to the old man. See, that was, you know, 50 beers or something. See, so we're sitting in the car. Now, I remember the day he made the decision. We're sitting in the car. See, my mother's looking through the windshield. The planes are flying. She's getting a little bored. All of a sudden, the old man says, I'm going up. I'm going to fly. She says, you're what? Of course, instantly, my kid brother, he wakes up, you know, and his eyes are this big. He says, see that plane down there? They're taking people up. I'm going. And with that, he got out of the car and walked down the grass. We could see him. We're scared now. All of a sudden, the old man's doing something. You know, it's like seeing your father that moment deciding he's going to take a trip to the moon with the next group of astronauts, you know. So he walks down through the grass. And there's a little talk going on. We're scared. We're watching. And there was no way you could get into that. Big signs. Only passengers and pilots allowed this side of the fence. The old man was on the other side of the fence for the first time in his life. And 5 minutes later, we see him get in this open cockpit plane, two cockpits. He's got a helmet. They give him a helmet on. And they start rolling down a runway, and that plane rolled right on past us. And I remember my mother saying, your father, he's up there, he's flying! Off they go. And there was a tiny figure. Remember that little tiny head? He looked like a little tiny, a little peanut, you could see, sticking out of that cockpit, and the plane went off. Off into the blue. And we stood there and watched. All the other people at the airport were watching. Everybody watches the planes. Made a great circle all around the airport. And I could hear the sound of that motor. Boom, 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 boom. She's chugging around. And it just seemed like an instant later, that plane comes drifting down over the trees. You could hear the wind whistling in the wires. It taxis out on the runway. And there was a pregnant pause. The old man had broken the barrier. And he climbed out of the cockpit. And it was then that it happened. He fell flat on his knees.
He just collapsed like he was made out of water. And his head went down. And you know, they didn't have air sickness bags in those sightseeing planes. It went all over the grass. And we're watching him. But then he stood up and took his helmet off, his face as white as a sheet, and he walked towards us, 10 feet tall. He was one of the Eagles.
Oh, the old man would love to see me this man. About to fly my own plane. He wouldn't believe it.
nothing in the world like it. Ease back on that yoke and up you go. Oh, here I am, 2,000 feet, drifting out over the sea coast, all alone. And you are never so alone in this world as when you're piloting an airplane. There's no one else in the cabin with you. One of the great experiences, in fact, one of the truly unique experiences that a man can have in our time. And every pilot in the world knows it. Only someone who is solo could ever really understand it. It's that moment when you make your first solo flight. Oh, just nothing like it. It seems like for months you've been studying. You've been working and planning your whole life, learning to fly. And every day when you go out to take dual instruction, there's this big father figure sitting next to you, your instructor. He knows how to fly the airplane. You're just sort of there. And then one day, he gets out of the plane after you've taken a couple of minutes of flying around the field and says, take it up. You're ready. Go. And there's that feeling deep down inside of me, ready to go, me to fly. Nothing to do but fly it. So you taxi it back to the end of the runway and sit there for a minute with sweat pouring down the side of your nose. And all of a sudden, that instrument panel, which you've been studying for a long time, begins to blur and everything looks like strange Chinese instruments that you've never seen before. You've got grip on yourself. Like, come on, let's go. Let's start. Check. Carburetor heat, carburetor heat. Fuel pump, fuel pump. Check your flaps. Check your trim. Run it up to 1,500, 1,700 RPM. Check your mags. That's right. Now you've got to fly. There's nothing to do but fly it. You taxi to the end of the runway. You sit there for a moment with the sun hanging high over you. You're all alone in the cockpit. It seems to be so hot in there. And then you ease back on that yoke, and you push in on the throttle more and more and more and more, and that runway starts pouring out at you. It starts roaring towards you. It's going faster and faster. Now you hit that crucial speed, 64 miles an hour. You ease back slightly on the yoke, and whoa, you're up. You are flying. You are flying as much as any man in history has ever flown. The minute you leave the ground, there's nothing between you and space. You watch that altimeter. 500, 600, 700. Make your turn to the left now. 800. You begin to ease it to the left. Then you suddenly realize, I'm alone! My God, I'm alone! You look over to that seat. There's nothing but just a big dent in that cushion where a man used to sit next to you. You look down at that field, and it's way down below. And ain't nobody gonna get that airplane down but you. Nobody. There's no way to get down. Now you're in the downwind. You're checking back through your mind. You're trying to get it all straight. Let's see. Check fuel pump on. Yes, fuel pump on. Carburetor heat on. And now we're at the end of the runway. Now, yes, ease it back here. You start pulling that throttle back. Now up on it, you're 85 miles an hour. That's right. Flaps. Oh, yeah, flaps. Don't forget the flaps. Reach up and you start clanking the flaps. One, two, three, four and a half turns. The plane seems to be drifting higher. Oh, the nose is dropping. And you're, for one just brief instant there, you say, no. There, I've got it again. And now you make your left turn. And that runway starts coming up towards you. Faster and faster and faster. I'm going to overshoot. There. Then the nose starts dropping suddenly. I'm going in the trees! I'm going to shoot in the... And then those numbers start drifting up. And you know you're going to do it. You know you're going to do it. Then you start pulling that rope back. Suddenly she feels like a free balloon is going to drift out on you again. Out on you. No. And then that moment when those wheels touch out and you
you've flown the plane. You've soloed. But then you see all those people standing along the edge of the runway, looking in from the other side of the fence. Oh, you're an eagle. You could fly.